Hello, friends. This is Andy Atwell welcoming you to Come, Let Us Reason Together. This next half hour will be dedicated to putting the Bible back into its number one place in the hearts and minds of mankind. Throughout the centuries, the Bible remained the number one book sold. Only today has it taken a back shelf position in men's lives and minds. Even Christian bookstores have more books about the Bible than the Bible itself. The Bible is the only book written by God, and in it alone is found the pathway to life. Come now, let us reason together with Gilbert Larson and his friends.
Hello, everyone. It's time to get your Bible and grab a cup of coffee. We're reasoning through the Bible. Come, let us reason together. Though your sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. And this is Gilbert from Red Bluff, California.
This is Andy from Vancouver, Washington.
And this is Brett from Vancouver, Washington.
To invite you to come and reason together through the Bible.
Hey, Gil, on that last recording, we talked a little bit about towards the end of there on Matthew 24, the day of the Lord is coming. Jesus says that in 24:42, therefore stay awake, for you do not know which day your Lord is coming, or so like the day of the Lord is coming. So yeah, I thought it was an interesting piece because, you know, never mind the fact that, especially when it came down to even like Noah, in the days of Noah, you know, where God saved out of the entire earth, eight people, you know, he had given the message to these eight and the whole world had basically disregarded that, disregarded what God had to say. And we look at it today. Now he's giving a warning to the earth. But when we look at chapter 25, it starts talking about the 10 virgins. And I had a conversation with Andy not too long ago about the very same thing, where it's these 10 virgins. It says that altogether that there was five that were wicked and five that were, what does it say?
Five foolish, five prudent, five, verse 2.
Thank you. And that's all that really is getting at, like the believers, is that within that, they're waiting and that there is going to be those who are not ready. And then there's going to be within that, those who are. So even still, you know, the fact that the world is still being given the message that Jesus is going to be returning, so that they're, you know, whether you are agnostic or without God, that's what the Greek is, or atheist, which is without, agnostic without knowledge, atheist without God, the message is still to them, but even more so for the believers, we should be paying attention and being ready because that day is coming and we want to be ready.
Gnosis means to know, gnosis, agnostic.
Right.
Without knowledge.
And two, it says that the love of most will wax cold. Well, you got to have love to wax cold. So yeah, I would agree with you what you say, Brett. I wanted to look too, we're talking about Noah. I wanted to read in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. If whoever is on listening would like to turn to that, I'll pause a minute so you can get and read along.
It's way back in the back of your Bible, unless you have a Panons. Then
yeah.
It's about 5/8 through on a Panons, but it's close to Revelation in the back of your Bible.
That's 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 18. But Christ also died for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he bring us to God, put to death in the flesh, but made alive in spirit, in which also he went and preached to the spirits in prison, that aforetime were disobedient when the long-suffering of God waited in Noah's days, while the ark was being prepared, into which few, that is, eight souls, were brought safely through the water, which is an antitype, doth now save us, even baptism, not putting away the filth of the flesh, but the interrogation of a good conscience towards God, through Jesus Christ's resurrection, who is at God's right, gone into heaven, angels and authorities and powers being subjected to him. And I was thinking about the picture of Noah's ark on the water, and they were saved through baptism. And so this water If you look what Jesus said in John to Nicodemus, he says, "I tell you the truth, you must be born up." Well, there's that water, and there they are going which direction with the water? They're going up, aren't they?
Above the flood.
They're going up above the flood, and everything that was evil on the earth was destroyed, just like everything in us is forgiven, and we come back down to the ground. So it's up, born up, not it's anathen, it's not again. That's the word palin. But anathen means up with force. So there is a certain amount of force, even in that water gushing and pushing that ark to the surface. And so that's a picture of what baptism is. It fulfills all righteousness.
The power of Jesus' death, blood, and resurrection. That power. We're raised together with him into new life, it says, doesn't it?
So raised from the dead.
Yeah. It's not born
separated
again.
Separated from God. We were separate, and now we are with God. He brings us with him.
Above the earth, above the kingdom of this world, where Satan crawls around like a serpent on his belly. He's been relegated to, he's a prince of the power of the air, but not of the heavens. He does over this air here below. That's why the Jews kosher everything within 18 inches of the ground. That's where all the disease is. You know, sometimes they dig up a corpse and they unleash an old disease that was meant to stay buried because their archaeologists are looking. And there's some disease and plagues under the ground that are buried.
So you enter into the kingdom of the heavens when you're born up, baptized, born up. And this is a kingdom you can live in here while you're here because you've gone into it. You can't see it, but you're in it.
Repent, for the kingdom of the heavens is at hand.
Mm. Something, a little piece of that to add to that picture, over in John it talks about it, because we're talking about being born up, right? Up with force. But in John 1, 12 and 13, it says, "As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not out of blood, not out of the will of flesh, nor out of the will of man, but out of God were born." So when we're baptized, we are born up and out of God.
Up and out of this world.
Up and out.
But it's in God.
In God.
Because we all came out of God through Jesus, and man fell, and we come back into God. We are destined to come, this preposition ice, we are destined to come back into God, and we do it through Jesus, and it's an upward direction. It's up. Interesting, two words for repent. In the Old Testament is a different word than metanoia, it's change your mind. In the Old Testament is return. So put the two together. When we return to God, so Jesus is first, when he said, change your mind, he's also saying, return to me, and the direction is up. That goes without saying, because if you fall, what direction have you gone? I mean, you don't have to use physics too hard here. What happens when you fall? You go down. Down.
And so God gives us that simple story that all the children know about Noah and the flood. And so he shows us a picture of baptism, and just how Noah and his family and sons and daughter-in-laws were saved. We can be saved. There's a salvation involved there.
A new world, a new cleansed world through Jesus Christ. And what he's talking about now, where the old, remember we read about the temple, and there's a whole lot of scriptures we went through about the temple, a lot of context, where Jesus, just before he dies on the cross, we're in the time before he dies on the cross here, and this is that happened just before this warning about the last times, what it's going to be like, and him walking in the temple. And that age ended when Jesus died on the cross, a temple being a physical building, And we've gone through this in past series on this, past tapes, that the new temple is, we are the temple of the Holy Spirit if we've been born up, if the Holy Spirit dwells in you. It says we are his temple. We are sons of God, God's children, been grafted into a flock. We don't know how many flocks God has all over this world, but we're the fellowships we know are flocks. And I think a flock is really about 12 people each when you really think about it. And they met in Galatia, the flock in Galatia, the ecclesia, the called out group in Galatia, the called out group in Ephesus. They were never named a denomination. They were named according to the town. So there might be, in most towns, there might be a group. It might be a small group of 12. We don't know. It's going to be interesting in the end, all these questions we can ask the Lord.
In some of the places in the Bible, it says this, it said that there was the ecclesia or the church. It says church in the English, but it's the ecclesia was in somebody's house.
Right.
So that would lend itself. I'm thinking if I had 12 people or so in my house, if not, the walls would be busting out. So, yeah, so it's home, things that were around people's homes, mm-hmm. not located in big buildings that they built, but located in homes. And it literally says the church in your house. Now, try to visualize that. Get a big building in your house. And they go, well, that's not what it's talking about.
And where you see the backs of everybody's heads versus you do it in a house around a round table, there's no head. Jesus is the head. And get 12 people and start fellowshipping. And there might be several in a city, especially like in a city. There could be several that you don't know all of God's kids. I have others that are not of this flock. So we don't know that. It's going to be exciting, isn't it? And we've actually met people like that. We've determined not to join each other because, and Richard and Charles, when they were saying it, we have so many things to do. Oh, by the way, I'll tell you about Richard and Charles. This is how highly respected they are in Cuba. There's only 3 ministers given personal invitation via letter. They showed me the letter from Fidel Castro to minister at any time. They were so highly respected. And guess what they were carrying over there? They were in their 80s, and they carried a suitcase that I could hardly lift up, and it was all kinds of dentifrice in there, all kinds of dental aids, you know, toothbrushes, floss, and so on. They were not only ministering the gospel, but they were concerned about these people's health. And they could bring over anything. They just had carte blanche to go into Cuba. They were ambassadors of goodwill from America. I don't know if they got okay from the State Department or not, but they were constantly going there. And they were based somewhere in southern Arizona. We could have easily fellowship with each other or whatever, but we decided, we knew that we're going to leave it the Lord's way, but we encouraged each other that there were others like them or like us. And it was talking to them as like I was talking to Ray or talking to you or talking to you. And we could almost finish each other's sentences. Charles and Richard. It's very fascinating to meet them. And there's others we've met like that.
Oh, it was 2 of them.
Right.
2 by 2?
They went 2 by 2. Isn't that interesting? Andy reminded me of that. And they looked over at me and goes, well, that's a mighty fine smile. And right when they said that, I'm thinking that would be something that Ray would tell me. And so we just started talking, asking each other questions. And we didn't ask, you know, what denomination are you? We just started talking about the Lord, and we were talking like I've known them all my life, and they were talking like they knew me all their life. Hmm. Are we ready to go into back to the parable of the 10 virgins, being ready, like waiting for the bridegroom? And there's something, let's see, Matthew 26:1. Oh, it says, when Jesus had finished all these words, all this logos. So this whole thing, these all go together. Chapter 25 about Jesus talking. He's outside the temple. So where are they standing? In all of 25 and 24, they are outside the temple. Let's get our focus of, you know, we're doing a tour also of a country. We're doing a tour of Israel. And they came out of the temple, and it was going away when his disciples came to him to point out the temple buildings to him. And Jesus said, not one stone is going to be left on another, which will not be torn down. And there's going to be a great tribulation. Does it say that in here? That, or am I thinking of another place? There's going to be a great tribulation such as not occurred. Oh, that's in verse 21. Such as not occurred since the beginning of the world, no ever shall be. I mean, that's great news, isn't it? You're going to go through tribulation like never before, and you're going to, you know, you're going to be maybe tortured, whatever. And so your eyes are starting to get big, and it's talking about, for the coming of the Son of Man will be just like the days of Noah. And they were increasing in population. If you go back to around chapters 5 or 6, Noah's flood, I think it's around chapters 5 and 6. Man started, wickedness on earth began to increase. Also, population would increase, the number of man. And so there might have been a billion people. There might have been 7 billion people on the earth. We don't know, but their populations. So they began to increase on the earth, and wickedness increased. And it grieved God that he had made man, but Noah found grace in the sight of the Lord. And he was righteous of all the people on the earth. And it looked like it took about a year for him to prepare the ark. And it's the size of an ocean liner. They still make big ships. Those same proportions, the width, the length, and draft. There's a draft on a boat and so on. And they still make them that same ocean going vessels. They use something very similar to those dimensions. Some of them, they are building so big now that they can hardly go through the Panama Canal. They've had to redig it. And America, who started it, is no longer in control of it. And it happened in the Jimmy Carter administration. It was given away. The control of that canal was given away. And I think the Chinese have it today. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Andy's remembering it. It wasn't a happy day that all those people died of malaria and so on. And we gave lives for that to be built and so on. And it was free. People were free to come and go through there. I don't know what's going to happen in the future. You know, if we become servants to another country. These days are very interesting that we're in. And our morality, which way are we going with morality today?
South, down, bad.
And man began to increase on the face of the earth, and wickedness increased. And it grieved God that he made man. But Noah and his family, there were 8, came safely through the water and saved by the water. They were born up like we are in baptism. And it says, blessed is the slave or the servant. We are bond servants to God, but we haven't gotten into that. That's Mark. That's next. And when his master finds him so doing, and we gain sonship. It talks about starting off as a bond slave, but then the slaveholder treats that servant. He loves him so much. He treats him like a son. And so sonship is very important, that we watch how we live in respect in God's household and with other sons of God. But yet we are also bond servants. We're not above the consideration of one another. We have to always be considerate of one another. The master first, and who becomes a father to us. And there's stories about that. But we have to go to a certain amount. You know, like I think a really good dad who builds a business from scratch and has this fantastic business, they do well if they start their kid at the bottom, maybe as a janitor at first, and then different grunt work So they end up appreciating when they get more and more responsibility that they grow up to appreciate everybody in that company, even the janitorial staff or the dishwashers, if it's a restaurant business or whatever, that they grow up and they highly respect everybody. And I've heard stories about the sons that are raised that way, always considered of every employee and the difference in that corporation versus some where it's just given to them and they end up being drunks or alcoholics. They don't appreciate anything and the business is ruined. And it begins with a lack of respect for one another and lack of respect for the dad. We read the parable of the 10 virgins. You can, if you go back to the other tape, you can hear that being read. And the wise trimmed their lamps, and they also kept oil in their lamps. How are you doing with your daily reading? How are you doing with understanding the fundamentals of principles of Christ? Is there still oil in your lamp? Thy word is God's word. The image of Christ is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And five kept reading the Bible, kept living their lives in the Bible, comparing their life to the Bible. How am I doing? You know, the different, our different forefathers. How did David walk? I like Samuel. I love Ruth. I love Hannah. What are your ones you love?
I really like reading about David. Anytime that I read that where it says that David was a man after God's own heart, I start looking at, okay, well, what about David? What were the things, characteristics of David that God saw, that God liked? And then it's like, okay, so God called him a man after his own heart. So you see those things that he did and how he, before battle, he would see what the Lord would say. Shall we go up to battle? And he would say, yes, I'll give these people in your hand, or say, no, go around this way, or, you know, don't attack until you hear this. But he would seek what God had to say in things.
One is the Ethiopians attacked. This is another king. And there was 1 million Ethiopians in their army. And the final result, like if you're doing a football game, you know, the score was, and it was 1-0. 1 million Ethiopians were killed. But then isn't it interesting how God showed grace and mercy to the Ethiopian eunuch that came and brought Christianity?
When Ethiopians are dispersed through that, like, I believe Jeremiah had some Ethiopian help him. It literally, I don't know where it just goes, oh, and an Ethiopian man helped him. I went, well, God didn't forget that.
Right.
Yeah.
And well, but 1-0 was the outcome. It wasn't David, but David was like that.
Yeah.
And the scores were similar to that. And I think there was one that was not one lost in one of David's battles.
It was with David when they had, like, was it 10,000 soldiers or something like that? And he was going to give him victory, but he goes, no, take that number down.
No, it was Gideon.
Was that Gideon? Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
I like Gideon. I like Samson. I like David. Are you seeing a similarity?
Yeah. He likes the fighters. He likes the men.
Yeah.
And he was in the military, of course.
Well, I like the guy that when he was 80, he could hold the sword equal when he was 40.
Caleb was the same.
And I'm like, would you want to mess with that 80-year-old guy? No.
He's 3+ years older than I am, and I don't meet that at all. I've gotten weaker. Anyway, maybe I need to repent in some areas. So,
well, you know, the thing of that is that's a physical guy, but now spiritually, you're equal strength and more understanding and more well-rounded in things, but equal strength is when you were 40. Think of it that way in the Lord. Like you can still do things.
I'll think about that the next time I walk up the stairs.
Well, we're in here, aren't we?
Yeah. We're here by God's here. By God's
That's
grace.
Right.
Anyway, so let's see. Oh, I'm in 25. I was looking in 26. That the bridegroom, at midnight, there was a shout. The bridegroom came out to meet him. Have you ever taken a globe? Think in your mind, did you ever were you raised up and had a globe in your house, you know, a globe of the earth?
No, it was in school, so we got a chance to play with those.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you've had experience with a globe.
Yeah.
Okay, Jesus is going to return. Here's the earth. How many time zones are on that whole earth?
I don't know the answer to
you
that.
You got to. How many hours in a day?
24.
Oh, and if you go around the equator, you know how each time zone is approximately? Do you know what the circumference of the earth is at the equator?
No.
24,000 miles.
24,000 miles. So divide so this is a fun geography
Strike
thing.
Two.
If you back off from the earth. So you back up and there's a there so divide 24,000 by 24. What do you get?
You mean one?
1,000.
1,000.
24, take 24,000 divided by 24. Each time zone is almost exactly 1,000 miles around.
Well, think about it over to this and then over to the East Coast.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So if you're on the equator and you're driving, you're going to drown. But you're going to have to take a bullet or whatever. But anyway, if you go 60 miles an hour, you should be able to, and if you go 1,000 miles, you're in the new time zone. 1,000 miles. Now, it doesn't work on the earth because you might be in the middle and you're just crossing over. It might be 500 miles and you hit a new time zone. But if you start at one time zone at the beginning of it and the end of it, it's 1,000 miles, however long that takes you to drive. But look at that. Now, Jesus is coming back for the earth and all are going to see him. And it says you don't know the day or the hour. And why does it say that? Because you could be in this time zone. And you could be in that time zone, and you're in a different hour. But then you cross England.
The international date line, you're in another day.
Greenwich Mean Time, and you're in another day. So there's going to be people living on the earth on a different day than you also. There will be a different day and a different hour. So everybody's going to see him, and if you get a globe, you get to understand that. But it doesn't say you will not know the week. But you won't know the day or the hour because it's different for everybody on the earth or different.
It's hidden in the information.
There's two different days on the earth always at all times.
And there's 24 time zones. So you don't know where you're going to be living. So what day or hour is it going to be?
Yeah, you're not going to know. That's a gimme. So it's going to happen, but it really leaves out the most important part. You're not going to know the week. So we want to know the week. And it does point it down to, it says, we will know that there's so many days when you see the abomination that makes desolate, there's going to be so many days and so many hours. And so until we meet again, may God help you get ready for the day of the return of Jesus.
You can contact Gilbert and his friends at www.gilbertandfriends.com. That's www.gilbertandfriends.com. Or write to him, Gilbert and Friends, P.O. Box 820347, Vancouver, Washington 98682. That's P.O. Box 820347. Vancouver, Washington, 98682. Or call us at 360-600-6726. That's 360-600-6726. We invite your comments as we reason together through the Bible. Thank you for joining us on Come Let Us Reason Together and reminding you all to eat a healthy breakfast every morning. Our favorite breakfast is the Bible because it is written, Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.